Hello, everyone. Excuse me. How is everybody doing today? Let's give everybody a minute to come on in. We are in office hours, Tuesday night. I am Coach Kathy. For those of you who don't know me, I've lost 80 pounds. I'm on the podcast. Hey, hey. Never thought I'd be on a podcast. I am living proof that amazing things can happen that you never expect, like leaving your job, losing weight, keeping your weight off, getting on a podcast, all the things. So my message to you tonight is do not ever, ever limit yourself, because you never know what's going to cross your path. All right. So here's what we do. If you'd like to be coached, you'll raise your hand. I will work my way down the list. I would love to coach people rather than talk about myself for 2 hours. So make sure you raise your hand. Sound good? All right. Claire, you're first. Also, if you want to talk to me or you have something you want me to answer, you can put it in the Q&A and I'll try and get to those at the end. If you talk amongst yourselves, use the chat. Make sure you're talking to all panelists and attendees. Otherwise, you might be just talking to me. Claire, I'm trying to get you on screen here, girl. Oh, there you are.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi. I'm very nervous.
Why? It's just me.
Yeah, I didn't think I would be, but I'm all shaking and everything, but. That's cool.
So what's up?
Yeah, I joined in September. Mm-hmm. I'm just trying to get under 70 kilos. I'm in Australia, so I don't know pounds. But so, yeah.
I wondered where you were.
Sorry?
In Australia, huh?
Yeah.
We're international. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah. This is the one day I've got off work to be able to come to the calls, so that's cool.
Okay.
Yeah, but I just kind of have been up and down for a few months now, and I think my main problem is my weekends. Mommy. I just got my son coming in to say hello to.
So your main issue is the weekend.
Yes, so I've been planning quite realistically, and my weekends are, you know, eating out, lots of treats. I can eat really well during the week. I have a couple of slip ups here and there, but yeah, I can get down. I can see 70 kilos during the week, and then every weekend it'll go back up, and then during the week it'll come back down, and then it'll go back up. And yeah, I just can't kind of break through. Yeah, and I know I just need to sort out my weekends, but I'm just having trouble doing that.
Okay. So are you planning realistically on the weekends, or are you eating off plan on the weekends?
I'm planning realistically. I'm following.
Let
me have a look. Sorry about that.
That's okay.
I'm planning because I am allowing, the treats, especially when I first started. I'm like, all right, just meet myself where I am. Mm-hmm. I'm eating donuts. I'm eating takeaway. Just do it.
Okay.
Yeah, and I'm just having trouble working out why my weekends need to be this and not, I'm not able to eat very well on the weekends.
So why do you think you're not eating as well on the weekends? If you had to guess, if you were sitting in my chair, what would you see?
Oh, it's really just habits. It's just, that's just what I've done for years and years and years, and it's what my husband and I do together is go and eat out or treat ourselves, with takeaway.
So when you go and eat out, do you plan ahead of time what you're going to eat, or do you just like have exception meals the whole weekend?
Pretty much exception meals the whole weekend. I plan healthy. I write healthy takeaway, but it's not really usually.
So why not?
I don't know. I give myself this opportunity on the weekends to kind of eat what I want, and I take it, I guess.
Yeah, that's exactly what happens. And so when you're realistic planning, it's beautiful that you do this and that you've come to this, because this is almost like stage two of realistic planning. The first step is doing the plan and making your commitment to yourself and staying on plan, right? Planning all the things you know you'll eat so that you develop this commitment to yourself. So you've done that. You're doing your realistic plans. You're pretty much staying on plan, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Now what's happened is you're understanding that the realistic plan on the weekends is not keeping you at the weight you want to stay at or stay under, mm-hmm. right? So what do you think that leaves you to do?
Yeah, so I've kind of written down everything I've been eating on the weekends and kind of called them treats. And I think I counted how many treats I did per day. Mm-hmm. And then I said, okay, like, this is ridiculous. I think it was, you know, something sort of like six a day or whatever. So I said, I'll do three or four. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I have improved a little bit, but I guess I'm just going to keep going at that.
Well, you have to keep trying things. So I'm not saying you have to go down to no treats on the weekend. No, mm-hmm. I would never say that, because you do have, you know, that's when it sounds like you plan your exceptions anyway.
Yeah.
But what you do start to look for, if you're not doing what you want, after following your realistic plan, you start to look for those places to level up. So if, let's say, give me an example of, you know, like a Saturday. Give me an example. What you eat on Saturday.
Yeah.
Tell me what you ate last Saturday.
I think we went out to a restaurant and I had a burger.
Okay.
And I've stopped kind of eating like chips if they come with, fries. Yeah.
Okay. What about lunch?
Usually our meal will be out lunch and then dinner will order something in. Yeah.
Okay. So what kind of something would you order in?
Sunday night was pizza. I remember that.
Okay. And what was breakfast?
Just toast or, yeah.
Okay. So pretty leveled out breakfast, you know, like toast, and then a burger for lunch and pizza for dinner.
Got my plan here to have a look what I did eat.
Okay.
Oh, no.
Yeah, so that was right. Yeah, I had burger at lunch and pizza for dinner. And then
a donut and what?
And chocolate for snacks, which is just not.
Okay. Yeah.
Sustainable. So, not what a person eats when they're trying to lose weight.
Well, you know, first of all, let's not judge it. Let's just see where you can trim. So, like, if that was last Sunday, and you're going to plan something very similar for this coming Sunday, what's one small level up you could try?
Yeah, one treat, like not both.
Yeah. And just see, you know, that's what you do. You take those small steps. You know how Corinne talks about the ice cream, you know, is a big thing for her to go from eating ice cream out of a carton to actually putting it in a bowl.
Yeah.
That's just a small step. She probably ate the same amount of ice cream, but she wasn't eating it out of the carton anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what you want to do. You want to take a look at what you're doing that's not getting you the results that you want and just make one small level up. If I were to sit here and tell you, oh, look, Claire, you're going to have chicken and broccoli for three meals on the weekends too, you'd be like, no, I'm out, right? All over, right?
Mm-hmm.
Let me ask you this. How's your hunger scale on the weekends? Are you stopping at plus two?
Yeah, pretty good. I think that's what's keeping me maintaining, not gaining weight.
and you're starting at minus two. So you're pretty much being, okay. So that's not something that's there for you to trim. You have to trim something else. Is your water good on the weekends?
Yeah. So just looking at my habit tracker, it's most things are under control except following plan, which was around 60%.
Oh, okay. So 60% on the plan. Is that through the week or on the weekends?
You know what? Probably during the week, because I do plan so realistically on the weekends. But I know I can get by during the week eating pretty sensibly. And then the slip-ups will be something that comes up at work, events and things, birthdays and things.
Okay. So why do you eat off plan with things that come up at work?
I kind of get a bit caught up in the excitement, like, you know, work's mundane, and then if something exciting's happening and someone's boarding cake or something.
Yeah, oh, look, cake.
Run, bring it, something fun, something different. Yep.
So it's kind of, it sounds to me like you're going to have to pick when you're going to eat your treats. Mm-hmm. Right. So you can, if you don't have them all the way through the week, you might be able to have one or two extras on the weekend.
Exactly.
But if you're having them through the week and you're having them on the weekend, the sum total of all of that week to week is a maintain rather than a loss.
Yes.
So for me, I would make sure the treats I'm eating intentionally and they're mm-hmm. planned, just because if I'm going to eat a treat, I want it to be, want to be something I love, yeah. and I want it to be something I've looked forward to, and I'm eating intentionally, not because somebody brought a cake in, or somebody brought, you know, oh look, donuts. No,
yeah.
I love donuts, but if I'm going to have a donut, I'm going to plan it, and I'm going to get it from the best bakery in town, and it's going to be my favorite donut, mm-hmm. not one that's somebody's just brought in. Do you yeah. see what I'm saying? I get really picky about my treats because I just don't want to just have anything. I want to enjoy them
mm-hmm.
because I don't eat them every day.
I think I'm associating fun foods with a fun time, and that's how I celebrate my weekends and celebrate, things with friends.
Yeah, that's the other thing. You talked about early on that you and your husband, you know, that's the fun thing that you do together is you eat out on the weekends. You can certainly do that, but you might not have as many treats, or you might eat a salad instead of a burger, or you might just consider leveling up your food. One thing about pizza that I used to do when I ate more of it, I eat cauliflower crust pizza now, but when we used to bring pizza in, I would always bring in a salad and have some salad first.
Yeah.
And then eat pizza to my two. So, and that usually cut the amount of pizza I ate in half. So you could think about that.
And I told my husband, well, why don't we just start making some pizza, making some burgers?
But sometimes there's something about getting out of the house, and which is totally fine. You just need to remember your plan and remember, you know, when it comes to planning realistically, that's great, but eventually you're going to evaluate how the results that you're getting when you're eating realistically. So you can put all the snacks on there and eat all the snacks and be on plan. But if it's not getting the results that you want, then you want to look probably for something that's, you know, you can trim up and see if that helps get the results.
And I've just been trying to have my thought of the day kind of is to enjoy relaxing or enjoy my family, not just enjoy food on the weekends. Focus on getting enjoyment from what I'm actually getting enjoyment from.
Or
is that all the food?
Right. You know that I love just being really intentional with my time and with my food and with my connection. You know, you only have one child?
Yes.
I'm sure you're intentional with your time with him. Right? Mm-hmm. You play together. You know, do things together. You don't just go to separate rooms. You intentionally spend time together. It's the same thing with your husband and with your food. Mm-hmm. You should just hang out, you know, be intentional about it. It just enriches your life so much.
Yeah. Great.
That makes sense?
Yes. Thank you.
Is that, and that helps?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, I'm tickled that you got on the call from Australia.
Yeah, it wasn't so bad.
No, it wasn't so bad at all. You got anything else?
No, I think I know what I need to work on, but it's just good to chat about it and confirm it and have a goal in mind.
All right, good deal. All right, take care.
You too.
All right, bye-bye. All right, everybody. There aren't any hands raised. No hands. Does anybody want to talk to me tonight? see what's going on over here. Oh, somebody's making chocolate chip cookies. This will keep me from taking a bite of dough. Too scared. Sam K. I don't know who you are, but you shouldn't be scared of me. Okay, Sylvia has her hand raised. Come on, y'all, line up. Let's coach. What just happened? Sylvia, I'm trying to bring you up here. Here you come. I'm not sure what just happened to Sylvia. I may have scared her off. All right, Molly. Sylvia, if you come back, maybe you just lowered your hand. That's so weird. Okay. Molly, you're next. Oh, wait a minute. Maybe Sylvia's coming. Zoom is just giving a hiccup. Hang on. Let me get over here and get Sylvia, then it'll be you, Molly. All right. Hi.
Hey, how are you?
I'm good. Zoom is acting funny. It took forever for you to come on screen.
Yeah, I had to actually leave and then come back in because it like just shut me out and it was gone.
Oh, but that's anyway, so strange.
I'm here. And so it's really good to talk to you, Kathy. What I want to coach on or get coached on tonight, I'm about to go through oral surgery on Halloween. I didn't have the date for that until yesterday. And so I had put on my plan that I was going to have, okay, candy is my huge love. Like, I love Halloween candy. And so I had Halloween planned. That's not going to happen now because I'm going to have oral surgery. And so I thought about it a little bit and I was going to restructure things to where I had my Halloween the day before, so I could still have Halloween, have my exception. I know it's going to take me a while to heal up from that, though. So I'm not going to be able to eat the way that I normally eat. I'm going to have to eat a lot of soft stuff. I know, too, that I'm not going to be moving around a lot. Now, that's not just that's coming up on Halloween. I'm doing it again on December 16th. I'm going to have some reconstructive surgery done. So we're going to be down again for another 2 to 3 weeks. I know that I have a tendency to buffer with food whenever I'm in pain. And I'm down. I can't move a lot. And so I'm inactive. So that doesn't help my cause. And I've been trying, I sat there and I thought, I'm going to spend my morning journaling, trying to come up with some new thoughts, new ideas, new models, so that I could try to get that in place and start thinking differently before this happened. I'm drawing a blank. I'm not coming up with anything, an intentional model to help me figure out how to deal with this stuff mentally so I don't pack on weight.
Why don't you just decide that you're not going to eat because you're in pain? Why don't you just... What is that look?
Who wants to do that? Yeah, who... I mean, it's miserable enough to be... Are you there? Oh, there you go. Sorry. It's miserable enough to suffer physically. But then to sit there and have to suffer not one surgery, but two surgeries... And we're talking probably 3 weeks out of my life, 3 to 4 weeks.
Okay. So why do you have to eat to feel better?
Versus, you know, it's that's what I'm trying to think. What am I going to do instead of?
So what are you going to, what, why do you, let's back up. Why do you have to eat to feel better?
It's, it, you know what? It doesn't feel better physically at the time that I'm doing it because it feels very uncomfortable, but it shuts my brain down from thinking about the pain.
No, it doesn't.
Okay.
You just distract yourself for a few minutes.
Yep, that's
you entertain. You entertain yourself with food, and that's all this boils down to, Sylvia, is a decision about whether or not you're going to do that this time. Are you going to entertain yourself with food because you've got a little oral surgery pain going on, or are you going to entertain yourself another way? Are you going to take some Tylenol? Are you going to knit?
I can do all.
Are you going to what is it going to be? How are you going to handle it this time? You get to decide.
I was hoping you could help me come up with some strategies.
So how is this any different from getting angry with somebody at work and coming home and eating to distract yourself from being angry?
I won't say I haven't done that.
Right, but how is it different from that? What did it fix when you came home?
I don't win if that were the case. I don't win. They win.
Mm-hmm.
And I get that. I ate because of somebody else.
No, you ate because you had a thought and a feeling. You didn't eat because of someone else.
Okay.
Okay. Same thing with the teeth. You have a thought, this really hurts. Feeling is pain. And when you're in pain, you eat. What if you didn't eat? What if you said, it's going to hurt. I know this is the currency I pay for having the surgery. This is going to be painful, but I don't need to eat.
Here's the other problem. It's because it's not with the oral stuff. It won't be because of eating to buffer. I'll be eating a whole lot of different foods because it's all got to be soft and mushy and nothing that I've been eating tons of salads and almonds and nuts and things that have been satisfying, satiating, but that won't be the case with soft food. Oftentimes I find those are high carbs, mashed potatoes, soups and things of that sort that are just like easy to go down that you don't have
to chew.
What
about smoothies? You have a blender?
I do. I have a vitamin.
Yeah.
That would probably feel good.
Yeah. Lots of vegetables. You can throw in some fats. Be nice and, it won't be nuts, but you can throw in, fats.
I could throw in nuts too. I mean, that'll match that up really good. I hadn't even thought of the blender like that. Mm-hmm. Okay.
But the thing you need to get past though, avocado, somebody says, the thing you need to get past is you don't have to eat because you're in pain. You don't have to eat to distract yourself from the pain. The pain is still going to be there.
Right.
It's still going to be, it's part of having oral surgery, right?
I'm not good at sitting through discomfort.
That's the problem.
Oh, I know.
How about that thought? I'm not good at sitting with discomfort.
I need to find a way to get good at it.
No, you need to just say, I feel uncomfortable and it's okay. I'm feeling discomfort right now. I'm in pain and that's just part of this.
As I kick
process.
Something?
Yeah. I mean, but that's what it boils down to, is accepting the fact, instead of you're like, oh my God, I'm going to be in so much pain. I'm going to have to eat all the way through it and I'm not going to get my Halloween candy and I can't eat my nuts and I can't do all this stuff. And Kathy, you just have to tell me what to do. And I'm telling you what to do. And you're going, oh no, but I'm not good at discomfort.
You're right.
Right?
Yep. You're right.
So I don't think you should dread it. I just think you should know that it's coming and be prepared for it. This Vitamix is your ticket to freedom with the with the food. You can put anything you want in it.
That's
you can
true.
Put all kinds of proteins and vegetables, foods that are going to satisfy you. Are they going to make the mouth feel better? No. But neither is candy, and neither is neither is ice cream.
Yes, exactly. Peanut butter, ice cream. Those are all the soft, mushy things that I would have gone to had I not thought through a little bit more about the oral surgery.
Right. But those things don't make your mouth feel better. All they do is let you give yourself a treat because you're uncomfortable.
That's true.
Yeah. And that's really not the point of peanut butter.
And that's momentary.
Right.
And then it's on my ass. And
right. Here we go. Right. And then in 3 weeks, you're going, dang, I ate too much peanut butter because look at the scale.
This is what I'm trying to avoid before I get there.
Yeah.
Vitamix for the oral surgery, the reconstruction surgery in December. Maybe I could use the same protocol.
Probably.
Live with the vitamins.
Here's the beautiful thing. It's temporary. You're going to be uncomfortable for, I don't know, 2-3 weeks, right? You know you're going to be chugging Tylenol. You know you're going to be eating soft foods. It's a choice that you're making. It's the currency you pay to have all this done. And that's okay. So be ready to be okay with a little discomfort or a lot of discomfort. Because this is the choice that you're making to do this work.
You know, I can say I'm okay on this side of it as I'm going through.
Now's
it hits the pavement, you know?
Sure. Now's the time that you make your list of thoughts and you do all your thought download about what you're going to, how you're going to show up on the days when it hurts. This is what I'm going to do. This is what I'm going to fix. I would go ahead and have that protocol written. I'd go ahead and say, these are the foods I'm going to allow myself to have when I'm hungry. And, you know, then the decisions are made so that when you're in pain and you're going, it's going to be peanut butter or nothing, you can look at the peanut butter jar and see your note that says, not today for the peanut butter. Here's your smoothie recipe or whatever it is. I'd make those decisions ahead of time. And I would stock the refrigerator with stuff to make your smoothies with.
Or so
your
potatoes or whatever. I know too that I don't eat because I'm hungry. Whenever I get like that, I eat to buffer. Mm-hmm. I eat because I don't want to go through the pain and that mm-hmm. it's almost like a pissed off, irritated, I'm angry kind of, you know, I'm just chewing on, like somebody who would chomp on gum. You know, I think it's forgive me if we have any Seahawk fans out there, but their head coach, if you watch him during a football game.
Oh, Pete Carroll chews that gum, doesn't he?
He is chawing on that gum. And that's, I know that's me whenever I'm in pain. You know, I would, except it's food. It's not gum. And it can't be gum because of, yeah. Anyways.
But you have to stop telling yourself that.
Okay.
You have to stop saying, I eat when I'm in pain.
Okay.
You have to start saying, this is the habit I'm working on. This time, I'm going to find something else to do when I'm in pain.
What is the something else I could do? I guess is what I'm trying to get
you. You tell me.
The only thing I'm coming up with is reading because I don't knit. I won't be able to use my arms very much moving stuff whenever I'm going through the reconstruction surgery. So, I mean, my upper body's got to pretty much stay stable and not move for about 3 weeks.
Okay.
So that leaves me with reading. I honestly don't even know how much I can even walk or move. I haven't had the surgeon tell me what I can do and what I can't do afterwards. Mm-hmm. But I just need things that I can do that, you know, other than reading and that doesn't require upper body.
Okay. I bet if you put something in the tribe and explained, this is what I'm going through, what are your suggestions? You would get a million of them.
I bet you Corinne could give me some.
Well, she might could. I bet yep. I could too, but I think you need to come up with them yourself because you've already given me some guidelines on what you can and can't do.
Yep. Okay.
But it all goes back to what's so important here. Somebody says redo the PMP no BS. Do all the PMP courses. What it goes back to, though, is your thought of I eat because when I'm in pain. That's the only thing that makes me feel better. You have to debunk that thought. You have to stop thinking that and move on to something else.
So I do that by writing models?
Or you just stop. you catch yourself with that thought and you answer it with, this time I'm not going to eat because I don't want it on my ass when this is all over with. This time I'm going to find something else. You might ask yourself, do a thought download that says, what can I do what can I do when my mouth is hurting? And just start writing and see what comes out. You could give yourself a million suggestions, but you have to tell yourself, I would write at the top of my journal page every single day, today I don't eat because I hurt. I eat when I'm hungry.
Okay.
Food doesn't take the pain away. So write something like that every day. Somebody says, ask your surgeon, tell him what you know, they'll be able to give you some ideas of how much movement you can allow. Is it all mouth surgery that you're doing?
Two different surgeries. I'm doing oral surgery, mm-hmm. Having a bunch of implants and stuff put in, mm-hmm. and then a month and a half, or 6 to 7 weeks from now, mm-hmm. Reconstructive surgery on my breast from breast cancer.
Okay. Okay.
So two totally different.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure. Your surgeon will give you good guidelines on how much you can move. You already know that, right? You already know how much you'll be able to do.
Yep.
You just have to tell yourself that eating doesn't solve it. That's not the solve.
Okay.
Do you believe me?
Oh, I know that that's the answer. I'm just trying to sit here and think of, my mind keeps going back to models, the mm-hmm. unintentional. Mm-hmm. Which is what I'm thinking right now, what we've talked about. Mm-hmm. And I've got to write the intentional and come up with the answer.
Let's do that. Tell me what your unintentional is.
I have pain is the circumstance. I have pain from surgery.
Okay. Pain from surgery.
The thought is I don't know how else to deal with the pain other than to eat. The feeling I get from that is, frankly, fuck it. Just whatever. Okay, so fine. You're going to just throw that caution.
How about hopeless?
Yeah.
Okay. And the action is eat.
Yep. And the
result is weight gain.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
All right. So the intentional model, pain from surgery.
Yep.
I'm going to give you that for your C. What result do you want, Sylvia?
Weight loss. I want to continue to be able to lose at least my 2 pounds a week that I've been able to do.
Okay.
I don't want there to be a stall, worse yet, a weight gain that comes back.
All right. So in order to get that result of weight loss, what do you have to do? What actions? We're going to work from the model from the bottom up. So we're going to decide now what the result is, and we're going to ask the questions that take us up to the thought. So to get weight loss, what do you have to do? Understanding you've got pain from surgery, what do you have to do?
I have to find a way to continue to only eat 2 to 2.
Okay, so eat 2 to 2. What else?
I don't have to move to lose weight, but to lose 2 pounds a week, I do. If I'm not moving, I can safely say that I can lose a pound a week.
All right, so we'll just put in here gentle movement as is possible. Okay.
Okay. Yep.
What else?
That's pretty much it.
Water.
Water for me is
sleep.
Again.
Has always medicine.
Yep.
Right.
Yep.
Journal.
I do that
have a lot of opportunity to journal, right?
A lot of opportunity mm-hmm. to journal.
Okay, so in order to do these things while you're in pain, what do you have to feel?
Focused.
Okay,
motivated. Well, no, not even motivated.
Because about prepared?
Okay.
You like prepared?
Yep.
I'll give you two. We put in focused and prepared. And in order, while you're in pain, in order to be focused and prepared to do these things, what do you have to think?
I have to have a protocol in place so that whenever those things happen.
Okay. So
whenever I'm in pain, I've got to go to, even if it's just written down somewhere.
I'm putting write protocol or follow, write and follow protocol on your action line. Okay.
Yep.
So what do you have to think? What's that one power thought that's going to get you while you're in pain to stay focused?
I can still lose at least 1 pound a week while I'm going through this.
Why can you do that? Why can you still lose a pound a week while you're going through this?
Because I'm following my protocol.
Okay. Why are you going to follow your protocol?
Because I want to lose the 1 pound a week still.
Okay. So we'll go back. We'll go with that thought. I just wanted to see if there was something else. So I want to continue to lose weight through this. Right?
Well, that's good, but I also have an overall, I know we're not supposed to put time, really put timelines and stuff on this,
mm-hmm.
but I did put a timeline on when I wanted to reach my weight.
Okay.
And in order to stay on track, I've got mm-hmm. to continue mm-hmm. to lose.
Okay. That's a different model, and that's okay. This is okay. about pain from surgery. Okay.
Yep.
So I wanted to tie your thought. Okay. Here's your unintentional. And it says, circumstances, pain from surgery. Thought is, I don't know what to do but eat. Feeling is hopeless. Action is eat. Result is weight gain. Your intentional model, the green one, your thought is, I want to continue to lose weight through, you know, the pain of the surgeries. Your feeling is focused and prepared. The action line is all the basics, writing a protocol, gentle movement. And your result is that you take, we have weight loss there. I can't, you know, you're not going to guarantee weight loss through pain and surgery and medication and all that. But the result is that you put in the effort needed to take care of yourself.
I've done my part.
You've done your part. Yeah.
Yep. Okay.
Does that help?
Yep.
All right.
And I can go back and watch this again so I can write in journal.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yep. Okay.
Thank you.
And I read in case for some reason you can't see the models, I read them so that you can write them down.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you, ma'am.
Does that help?
Very much so.
Okay.
All right. Appreciate it. Thank you.
You're very welcome. I hope everything goes really well and easily for you.
I'm sure it will. Well, right. Talk to you guys later.
Okay. Take care.
Bye.
Molly, you're next. And Molly is the only one with her hand raised, y'all.
Okay. Can you see me?
Yes, ma'am. I can see you and hear you.
Perfect.
How are you?
Good. Well, I wanted to say to Sylvia, too, I'm also a breast cancer survivor, and I've been through reconstructive surgery 4 times. And one thing I started doing during my last surgery, after I had found the PMP podcast before I was in the group, when I wanted to eat, I would make myself like a really fancy cup of tea and have that instead. And then sipping on that for like, I don't know, 45 minutes or an hour really helped avoid.
That's a great idea.
Going to the pantry. And also there's a lot of good recommendations in the comments that people said,
mm-hmm.
but there's also a lot of really good online courses on like YouTube and stuff for hobbies or things you're interested in. In case you said you didn't knit, Sylvia, but if you want to, you can learn how to on YouTube.
That's a great idea, Molly. That's a great, I love, you know, wasn't it Sheldon from the Big Bang Theory who whenever someone wasn't feeling well, he wanted to fix them a hot beverage because it was so comforting. I believe that. I really think there's something about drinking something warm that really settles me down too.
Yeah.
That's great.
Well, today I am trying to work through, I have a bachelorette party coming up this weekend. Oh. And recently I stumbled back across the April, right after the April group started, there was a video on the 4-step process to killing your weekends.
To killing your weekends.
Yeah. So okay. I've been working through that. Mm-hmm. Like step one is how do you want to feel on Monday? Mm-hmm. Step two is what needs to happen for you to feel that way. Hey, same guy comes here every night. You're fine. Three, what obstacles might you face? And then four, what strategies to overcome? And I'm having a little bit of an issue I'm having some competing priorities. So I want to feel proud on Monday. And then when I start walking through the steps that I would need to take to have that happen, you know, I want to work out in the morning, do some self-development, which can happen during my workout. I want to plan my drinks, but I also don't want to, I want to also not plan them. So I'm going back and forth. Like I want to enjoy the bachelorette party wholeheartedly, but I also want to feel proud on Monday.
Okay. So tell me what proud means. Define how that looks for you.
Okay. So to me, that means that I'm completely in control the entire time. I don't, gain weight over the weekend, even with this going on. And those are, I mean, really my proud. I don't want to have to do a recovery worksheet. That makes me proud when I don't have to do that on a weekend.
Yet you want an open plan for drinks.
But I want an open plan, yes.
Right, right. Okay, so the result you want is pride and no weight gain.
Right.
That's a really important thing to decide. It's just like a vacation protocol. You go in to vacation either wanting to lose weight, wanting to maintain, or being okay with a little bit of a gain. Okay. Yeah. You don't want any weight gain. Okay. Right. So your actions have to support no weight gain and pride.
Yep.
Right. So if we work the model backwards again, just like I did with Sylvia, we start with a result line of pride and no weight gain. What actions do you have to do or not do?
I have to plan out my drinks and stick to them. And whether or not that probably means, you know, 3 to 4 drinks, throughout the night, spaced out with water in between.
Okay. What else does that, what other actions?
It probably means that I'm going to have to, I don't want to say sacrifice, that's not the right word, but in order to indulge more on drinks, I have to rein my food in more. So no eating out, like indulgent meals, definitely on those days.
Plan your meals ahead of time?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. And like we're taking our own drinks. It's a party bus, so we'll have our own drinks on the bus. So I thought that I could maybe pack my dinner and take it because I think they're having pizza. I'll just pack it with drinks. And then I thought that I won't drink on the bus. I'll only drink in the stops we stop at.
So you're planning, you're doing all kinds of planning.
Yeah.
You're planning the evening, you're planning your food, you're bringing your food, you've got your drinks.
Yeah. So I guess that was really just what I needed to I just need to decide that I don't want to be indulgent on drinks, as many drinks as I want.
I think that's the choice you have to make. If it really is an either or, you know, if it really is to maintain my weight, I have to do this, or to be okay with the gain, I can do this. Mm-hmm. You know, if that's a decision that you make, that's, you know, that's the empowered decision, right? You're either okay. I just told somebody, I went to New York City for a week, 5 days. I was okay with the weight gain because I wanted to eat all the breads. It's New York City, right? All the bakery on every corner, you know, like a home bakery on every corner. Well, yeah. I wanted to have some bread. I wanted to have a donut. I'm okay if I come back with a couple of pounds of a weight gain. It's the currency I pay because I'm going to New York City and I want to eat a donut. Okay.
Yeah. I guess other I would.
I've been like, I don't want to gain any weight. There's nothing necessary here. I don't care about the food. I don't care about the drinks. You know, so you have a whole different protocol. That's what you've done here in this action line with your planning your drinks and you're sticking to the plan and bringing your meals. You're creating your protocol for the weekend. You just need to like that and be empowered by it and not feel deprived or like you're sacrificing.
Yeah. Because I feel... So when I was working through the visualization for this weekend, I had this line that said, you know, if this was happening in June, I probably wouldn't care about a weight gain. But I don't want the first weekend in November as we're going into the holidays to be okay with a weight gain. Because I know that there's going to be things more important to me coming up that I would rather do that for.
So that's an informed choice that you're making. And you're okay with that, are you?
Yes. Now that we've talked through it, yes, I am.
Okay. So in order to do these things, what feeling do you have to have?
I have to have a committed feeling.
Committed. I love that.
Yeah. Which usually when I work out before going to an event, that helps with my motivation because then I start to visualize myself as an exerciser or a runner or whatever workout I'm doing. And I want to fuel my body accordingly. But
Yeah.
It's easy to skip that too if I don't work out. So
well, that's part of how you care for yourself is as you're working out, you have this self-talk going on that talks about, I'm in it because I feel good and I'm taking care of myself and look at me and, you know, whatever it is that self-talk that's going on, that's part of your process. It's actually part of your whole protocol, you know, not just food. It's part of how you take care of yourself. Yeah. That's a good thing. So to come up with this committed feeling, what does your thought need to be?
My thought needs to be that I am a fun time on my own and I don't need alcohol to bring that out in me.
I am a fun time on my own. What a great thought. Sounds like you like yourself.
It's been a lot of work since January, but we're getting there.
Yeah. So here's your model. Can you read it?
Yep.
I'm a fun time on my own, committed. All this protocol work. And your result is that you leave the weekend proud and without a weight gain.
Yeah, I like that.
You've pretty much...
feels.
Yeah. I love committed. That's one of my favorite feelings.
Yeah.
Because you can commit to a weekend, you can commit to your job, you can commit to your spouse, you can commit to your friends, you can commit to yourself. Whenever you're committed, you're all in. And it just feels right to be all in.
Yeah. I like that. Committed equals all in.
Yeah.
Awesome.
All right.
That
so
a lot.
That's great. So is it your bachelorette weekend or are you just
for the
party?
It's a good friend, but I wouldn't say, you know, it's not like it's my sister or my best friend. It's just a friend.
Well, I hope you have a great time.
Well, thanks.
You're welcome.
This was helpful. Thank you so much.
I'm glad. See you later.
Thanks, Kathy.
All right. Bye. Yes, I did have a New York bagel. I had a bagel out of one of those carts that sits on the side of the sidewalk. You know, bagel and coffee for like $2.50 or something, pretty cheap. So yeah, it's delicious. Okay. I'm not sure how to say your name. You're going to have to teach me. S-U-B-O-O-H-I. You're up and you're going to teach me how to say your name properly. Let's see if we can get you rolling here. Need your video. There we go.
Okay.
Hi.
So is it Subuhi?
Say it again.
Subuhi?
Subuhi?
Yeah.
Subuhi. Did I do it right? Subuhi.
Perfect.
Pretty close. Oh, good. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you.
Good. What's up with you?
What? Honestly, I wanted to come to the call, but right now when I saw nobody is the hands raised, so I just jump into the call. So I have a couple of like multiple thoughts if we can like do something about it. I can give you a little summary what I wrote about the past and then the thing which I'm working on.
Okay.
So Kathy, I heard you once, you said that you don't have any shame issue while going up with your weight. So that's kind of with me also. When I see people talking, they have like this inner thing about some reason they eat. Like I, in my family, there was nobody like honestly over, still there's nobody overweight. And I was the only kid who was overweight. And while growing up, they're always, everybody cheer me. And somehow like, I become so like comfortable with my weight. It's just like, even I see my friends and somebody says you gain some pound, one or two, they get really like, and they just jump and they lose both weight. I somehow very comfortable around my weight, but it's not that I'm fine with it. Like whenever I see my journals or any copy, I see that I always have this thing that I will lose weight. I will lose weight this year. This is my plan to do this, like for so many years. And then anytime any family reunion come, any wedding come, this is the thing which the first thing comes to my mind is like, oh, I haven't lost my weight. So I like avoid it sometimes. So it's not that I don't want it, but then it seems like I don't want to do any work about it, which is the problem part, I think so. But I got into the program. I'm September baby, so I had a lot of guests over. So I started in October. I had a very quick call with Betsy, and she asked me to write down things. So I did write down stuff and try to figure it out. And I did figure out some of the things, but I realized that I started writing down my realistic plan, and I was following it until the Friday came, and I didn't lose any weight. So for 2 weeks, I think I just lost 2 pounds. And then I was like, I thought I'm okay with it, but somehow it seems like I wasn't okay with it. It was the first Friday, I was like really disappointed. So I messed up more than I was expecting myself. I would stay calm, but then I did some overeat and some off eating plans. Then I did well. I picked up well, like I thought, no, we are here, like we are figuring out, and I will try to make next best decision. So I try to go back to my basic routine of planning and taking care of everything, realistic planning. And then this Friday, again, I was so scared to stand up on the weighing machine because I don't want to, the whole episode happens, but I have no choice. I have a choice, but I choose to see how it goes. And I again didn't lose any weight, like maybe few like points, but anyway. But then I tried to do better than last time, and I did. So Friday was good, but somehow I still, it had back of my mind or something. So I think I messed up a little bit on Saturday and Sunday, like overeat or offline eat. And then I realized one thing. On Monday, Tuesday, I had this thing about me that, oh, I'm doing so good. I don't know why. And then I just picked a Milky Way from nowhere and I ate it. And then I was thinking in my mind that, okay, it's offline. I should pick it on the, like, I put it in my plan for next day. But I still ate it, and I thought, I'm doing so good, I will handle it, and then I will write a recovery sheet on it. And then I was like, I'm getting more comfortable about eating and putting a recovery sheet on it. Like, it's not helping, kind of. You know, like, recovery sheet shouldn't be like a, for me, a way of like eating things. So anything you can about it, like any model, I honestly, I'm so glad to talk to you. I might have said so many things that which might be confusing for you, but.
That's okay. I've heard a couple of things. I've heard you did the realistic plan and you didn't lose any weight. So what's the point? Basically, right?
You think so that, it might be that.
And sometimes you reward yourself with food when you've had a couple of good days. Oh, look, I can eat. I've had some good days, right?
That's so pedagogy. I think so. I do that. And I don't know why I always have done that.
Well, and that's, this is okay. The reason I'm bringing these out is because these are the patterns that you've discovered about yourself. And it's good to see these things. All right. The third thing I caught was, it doesn't matter if I have to do a recovery worksheet, I'm going to eat anyway. The recovery worksheets don't matter. Okay.
Yeah. More like I feel recovery sheet is a reason to eat, kind of like,
I'll just do a recovery worksheet. I can eat. Okay. So you're seeing these three things about yourself, which is really good. We actually, Corinne and I just did a podcast today that talked about awareness. And what awareness is actually shining a bright light on your patterns so that you can recognize them and realize this is the pattern that isn't working for me. I see myself in this pattern. I'm not losing weight. So I've got to figure out how to get out of this pattern. I've got to figure out, hey, wait, that thought really doesn't work. So maybe I should try a new one. So with regard to the realistic plan, the whole point of the realistic plan is not to lose weight. It's to meet yourself where you are and form a commitment to yourself and to your plan, to write down everything you're going to eat and stay on plan. It's practice to stay on plan. Then just like Claire at the very beginning of the call, you evaluate whether or not you're losing weight with the plan that you have. And if you're not, you level it up just a little bit. Okay, so if your plan, if you did a realistic plan for 7 days and you completely followed the plan and you lost weight, good to go. If you did your realistic plan for 7 days and you followed the plan every day and you didn't lose weight, you have documentation to go back through for those 7 days and see what can I trim up a little bit. You know what? I probably don't need a candy bar every day. Let's have one 3 times next week or 4 times next week instead of every day. What's one little small, there's a place in the journal. Do you have the planner. There's a place on the planner every week that asks you, what 1% level up can I do this week? That's just a small step. What small step can I make this week that levels me up just a little bit? That's how you work the realistic plan. Okay? So does that make sense?
Yes. This is something, if I don't want to change anything, then I will not.
Well, then you ask yourself, do I want to keep all this food or do I want to lose weight? Mm-hmm. Right? That goes back to what you said. I don't want to be overweight, but I don't want to do the work. So what you're choosing is eating instead of doing the work. So you're choosing the overweight over doing the work. Okay? Mm-hmm. At some point, you might decide, you know what? I think I'd like to lose a couple of pounds. So I'm going to trim up my plan just a little bit. And that might mean drinking more water, or it might mean leaving dessert off one night, or eating half of dessert, or something like that. Just a little tweak.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. If I feel like I find myself in the middle of a storm eating,
mm-hmm.
The Milky Way was like kind of, I knew in my head, it's not like a mindless eating. I knew in my hand, I got mm-hmm. it, I mm-hmm. sat down, I had it. So it's more like storm eating, right? So And I was like, what step should I take? And meanwhile, it's happening to me. Like, what strategy?
Just stop eating. If you grab a Milky Way, you unwrap it, you take a bite, you go, I'm in the middle of a storm, I'm eating this candy bar. You can either eat the rest of it or you can put it down.
Okay, so it's like what I did was like, oh, I'm eating, I realize it. And then I was like, oh, I will do the recovery sheet on that.
Right. Yeah. Okay, but, so did you do the recovery sheet?
Actually, I was because it happened yesterday night, so I didn't do a recovery sheet. I just had the appointment. But that's what I did. I write on that what I was thinking. And then it came to me, I was thinking, I will do the recovery sheet. And then I had just done recovery sheet. And I was like so impressed with my recovery sheet like 2 days ago about eating. And I realized I eat for like why I overeat. I don't care. That was my one of the thoughts. It might not happen anyway. I was too tired to get something else. It tastes good, habitually maybe. And then I realized it gives me happiness. It gives me pleasure. It takes away the like relief or... Somehow I'm like a food person. I cook good food. So everything around me with family and friends is always about food. If weather's nice, I just cook something for kids. And somehow I've been doing it for so long. It's become a habit.
Okay. Let me ask you this. I just wrote down three quick things that you said. Did the candy bar give you happiness?
That's what I write down the whole
thing. No. Just ask, answer. No. So what you had, wait a minute.
Yeah. Very little happiness at that time, but not like long term.
Well, and that's the point. The candy bar didn't give you happiness. It didn't give you pleasure. You said something might not help. The recovery sheet might not help. What your brain is throwing at you is excuses to eat the candy bar that are not true. That primal brain just wants you to keep eating. Oh, look, we're going to make you happy. Have a candy bar. Okay. Right? What you have to do is when you see all those excuses on your recovery worksheets, that's a red flag for you to watch for those excuses to come into your head, for those thoughts to come into your head that want you to eat the candy bar. And that's in that moment, you start to see those excuses and say, wait a minute, this is my pattern. This is what I do. If I want the candy bar, I can have it. But I need to plan it. But in the meantime, I'm choosing candy bar over my own health. Which do I want? Do I want the short-term candy bar fix or do I want the long-term health? So the recovery worksheets point out those patterns to you. You did a great job on that one. You listed all the thoughts, right?
I listed three pages after do you feel... happy, satisfied when you meet when you go to the doctor, because I wrote one of the things like give me pleasure, give me satisfaction. So I wrote down like really 3-4 pages about it. Does it feel give you pleasure when you wear new clothes on? Like okay, that candy bar, like it's like a pass. So I realized that after writing that down, I realized, oh, it's such a temporary thing and it's not a long term thing. Like I wrote down 100 things with like, does it feel better, like give you satisfaction, happiness, relief when you feel like going somewhere, travel, and the plane part give you like anxiety when you have to wear a seatbelt because I have to lose 100 pounds. I'm overweight. And the thing is, then I really into it. And then all of a sudden, I forgot about it. I messed up 2-3 days of binging and everything gone. Like, you know, everything, I was working for 2 weeks, so much writing down. It's like all my work kind of disappeared. No thought was coming while I was eating it.
Yeah, but none of the work ever disappears. Okay, that's just what you're doing is equating progress to your weight. Every time you do a recovery worksheet, every time you have a binge and you come back is progress. It's always forward movement. When you stall yourself with your brain, that's when you stall. When you tell yourself this isn't working, that's when you stall. But when you have a binge and you come back and you eat on plan the next meal, that's progress because that's probably not something you've always done. When you do a recovery worksheet, you've given yourself an opportunity to learn something about an overeat. When you create a realistic plan and you follow it, you've created some evidence that you can follow it. Every single step you take in this program is progress, regardless of how the scale moves, because you're working on your mind. There's always a reason we overeat. There's always reasons we're overweight. And they all start in your mind. And that's what's so unique about PMP, is that we don't tell you all the action steps to take. We help you figure out what's going on in your brain that can help you turn an overeat around, or it can help you stop in the middle of an overeat, or help you prevent an overeat. And once you stop overeating, you lose the weight. So that's what's important about the realistic plan, and about the recovery worksheets, and about getting back on plan after a binge. That's all the things you have to do in order to keep that forward momentum. There are some people who lose 100 pounds even though they're binge eaters, because they keep getting back on plan. Okay, Coach Betsy has lost, what did she lose, 60 pounds? And she has to work on her binge eating. Okay, so it is possible, because people keep moving forward and they don't say, I just ruined everything because I had a binge, or I just ruined everything because I overate. You didn't. You gave yourself an opportunity to learn something about yourself that could help you in the future prevent your overeating.
And is it okay, like, how to tell myself that it's okay if you don't have, like, if you haven't figured out what is your main reason of being overweight? It can be just, I like food, or I mean, like, this is my, like, lifestyle since I was a kid. If I try to find a deep down secret which I can solve, but I couldn't find anything which I can, no. Like.
I didn't have any deep, dark secrets. I just liked food. I just ate all the time, overate all the time. There wasn't any deep, dark anything.
It's like kind of life. Like, it's so hard to sometimes pinpoint, because I do start working on it, and then somehow I just not focus, and it just creep in so easily within me that I even can't realize it, that, oh, I'm back to binging, or I'm back to, I'm new still, I'm still working on it. But it's scary, because all you see is that, oh, wow, how easily it gets back to you when you're, like, not watching yourself or something, like, it's not in your mind.
But that's what you learn about yourself, right? Every overeat is an opportunity to learn something about yourself. It's an opportunity to see a pattern, so that you can eventually interrupt the pattern and see, you know, and stop it beforehand. You know, it's not like you join PMP and we sprinkle magic fairy dust on you and you never overeat again. What we do is teach you how to look for the overeats through the recovery worksheets and through your habit tracker, and, you know, how to collect the data so that you can learn about what leads to an overeat and how to stop one. Right? Yeah. So I bet you've learned a lot of, I mean, just in this call, I can tell how much you've learned about yourself.
Yeah. Right? I always reflecting and talking to myself, but this is, even though I know so much about myself, I don't do anything to do about it.
But you do. You do. Are you still making a plan every day?
Yeah, I'm trying to make plan almost every day. Yeah.
Okay. Yes, I'm making a plan every day. From here on out, you make a plan every day. Are you thinking about your hunger scale?
Yes. What okay. I did was, like, in afternoon, I wasn't sure of what I will do. So I did just wrote down, like, I will eat something. And then I wrote down plus and minus two, because I wasn't sure if I'd be outside or at home, or sometimes these days I've been like, feel like eating something which I haven't had on my plan. So I was like, I don't want to mess that part up. So I just write something, but I will watch how much I'm eating. And, but that might give me some more room of eating something which is not good for me, but we are not going for that right now anyway. We are going for realistic.
No, I just want you to see that you are learning things and that you are doing work. Mm-hmm. You know, are you drinking your water?
First, like, for last 2-3 days, I haven't drank that much, but first 2 weeks, okay, I was drinking all my water.
Okay. So so you're working on your basics, mm-hmm, right? So you are doing something.
Yeah.
Right. Don't indulge in the fact that, you know, don't tell yourself that you're not doing anything, because you got on a coaching call You are doing things. You did a recovery worksheet today.
Somehow I have this feeling that, because I have, I see people who lost 60 pounds and they gain back, have never lost weight. So I don't know how it feels, or it never feels real to lose weight. Some I see people aren't on different diets, they are on Weight Watchers, or I have never done those kind of things. I always make plans, but I never implement them. And the first thing I wrote down in my copy was we keep plans and we work on them, but we are not quitting on our plans this time. Yeah. But I hope
so. That's what you're doing. You're implementing. All you have to do is the four basics. That's all. Just work every day, work on those four basics.
Okay.
And it's gonna come together for you.
So in case if I make a model for my Milky Way, so I wrote down in my mind, thought was by circumstances, I was watching TV. So I wrote down in my mind that watching TV, then thought came to me, I was really craving for some sweets. So I have a sweetie, that's another problem. But anyway, I like sweets. So that's one of my binges. So I was like, okay, I can write on recovery sheet and I can have, or I've been doing so good, I can afford one Milky Way. Even though I was telling my mind that, you know what, it's offline, you can write on for tomorrow, but I didn't do that. I chose to grab it
and that's it. That's telling yourself you chose. It takes ownership of the decision to eat off plan. So that's what you write in your recovery worksheet. I knew I could fill out a recovery worksheet, so I did. How many, when you have about 50 of those, you're going to look back and you're going to say, that's 50 times I gave myself the excuse of this recovery worksheet to overeat. Maybe I don't want to do that anymore.
What thought should I give myself at that time? No, we are not eating it, or
here's what I would do. I would write down every excuse that you give yourself that you found. Like, I can just do a recovery worksheet. And I would write an answer to that. Okay, so excuse, I can do a recovery worksheet. And when you hear that thought, here's the answer you're going to give yourself. I'd go ahead and plan them out. Say, a recovery worksheet isn't going to get my weight off. Not eating is the right choice here. Whatever it is, whatever your answer is that kind of answers that thought, I would go ahead and make a list of them. All the excuses and all the answers. And then when you start hearing the thoughts in your head, look at your list. Now, does that thought help or not? Do I need to rewrite that one? So it's almost like practice ahead of time for when the thoughts come.
So if my brain says, it's okay, you can afford that much. What is at that
point? Your brain's probably going to throw four or five excuses at you at a time. You just got to keep answering them. It's like, I call that part of my brain my negotiator. Okay. It's like it's telling me, okay, well, you can have a piece of chocolate. It's fine. You planned one today, or you didn't plan one today, but it's okay. And then I might say, well, no, I didn't plan it. And then it says, yeah, but it's okay because there's a whole dish full of them. It's like a conversation that goes on. Right. And eventually, you get to the end of the conversation, whether you decide to eat or not. But understanding that you're going to have that conversation and being ready for it and prepared for it is what the key is to, getting to the end of, the decision about whether or not to eat.
So I just go ahead and write down all the excuses I give to myself, mm-hmm. and basically reply to them We'll say it. Because if you see, I try to write down all the things which I think right away when I eat something. So it's not that I don't I try to put tags and then I just write right away there. So I don't, I try to keep so much data for myself. But then in the end of the day, I think it's not helping you because you're just writing down things.
That's an excuse.
Yeah.
That's an excuse. It's not helping you. So let's go eat. That's just another thing you tell yourself that you don't want to, that's not really true. So this is helping.
I know. That's true.
I'm learning more about myself.
I'm learning more about myself. At least,
yeah.
I'm thinking before taking it. Otherwise, I would have just taken it without thinking about it.
Right.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. You got work to do, girl.
I know. Thank you. And I know Betsy also helped me a lot. She asked me to write down things, and I did that. And today I was like, oh, I'm back to working into the call. I don't want to waste one more week without just thinking in my mind that I'm like gone or something. So I just.
Every day you show up and you do a little bit of work, you're making progress.
Thank you so much.
All right. Take care.
Bye.
Bye. Samsung Galaxy S7. I'm not sure who you are, but you're coming on up.
Hello.
I am asking you.
Start my video. Okay. Yeah.
There you are. Hello.
Hi, it's Jane.
Hi, Jane. How are you?
Can you see me?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. I this is the first time I've done it on my phone, so I didn't know about the settings, so I was hoping I had them right.
You got it. What's up?
Okay. Good to talk to you.
You too.
I was at the October camp. Mm-hmm. And there was some great coaching there. And one of the ones that really resonated with me was the woman that was talking about a painful change in a friendship.
Yes.
And she was talking about her friend was busy and friendships have seasons and all this kind of thing and what she was making it mean about her and on and on. So anyway, since then, I have been working, doing thought downloads and models, trying to figure out, I have some friendships that are changing, and I've come to the realization that some of them, it's best if I let it go. What I need help with is making, so that it doesn't mean that there's something wrong with me. You know, okay. That's the painful thought. Mm-hmm. Is they are not in contact or whatever, and then my thought is more of a painful thought that this it's something wrong with me, and I try to level that up to it's their choice and I accept that, but I'm not really believing that.
Okay, so you need a middle thought.
Okay.
So we call that a bridge thought. It's something that helps us get from the unintentional thought, which is there's something wrong with me, to it's really their decision and it's okay. Right? So that's too big a gap, right, between the two thoughts. So you need a thought in the middle that you'll practice in order to get you to the new thought. And that thought might be, I'm open to believing. It's not about me. Or sometimes I think there's something wrong with me. And what that does sometimes I think is that it takes it out of the realm of it must be me to maybe it's not me. You know, maybe it's something else. And maybe that's your middle thought. So you have to come up with a thought that bridges the two thoughts, the one that you're trying not to believe and the one that you want to believe. There has to be something in the middle. Does that make sense?
Yes, that makes sense. And when I was modeling and looking at things, part of the thing too is at the course, they were talking about I'm getting in their model because I'm putting ideas into their, like, putting ideas into their head or something like,
right.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm making up the reasons. I'm trying to come up with the reasons. And really what I just need to do is stick in my own model.
Exactly.
So that's my challenge.
Exactly. So maybe, your middle thought, I'm open to believing that it's not about me is staying with your, that's staying with your own thoughts, right?
Right.
You're very wise when you say you have to stay out of other people's models. And the reason is, what that means is other people can't be in your result line, because only you can create the result line of your model. You have a thought that creates your feeling, that creates your actions, that creates your results. Your friend can't be in your result line. There's nothing you can do to make someone like you, or to make someone be angry with you, or to evoke some kind of emotion from them, or to get them to do something, right? Your
model. Okay, the model that I'm working now, one of them was fairly painful still, which was friendships. The result was friendships dwindle and I withdraw. So that thought must not have been working very well. And then I got down to one that said, move forward, acceptance that our friendship has changed.
Okay.
Is that an okay result? I'm not in there.
Yeah.
Thoughts?
Yeah. Yeah. What you don't want is, let's say your friend's name is Sue. Sue likes me again, or Sue comes back into the friendship. You know, that can't be in your result line. She can't be in your result line. But the fact that the friendship fades, or the friendship life, you know, is, you know, cycling out or whatever, I think that's okay in your result line. But it sounds more to me like that should be in your thought line. Well, if you put those in your thought line, what does that bring up for you?
Say again, what would be a thought?
Well, read to me your result lines again.
Move forward, acceptance that our friendship has changed over the last couple of years.
All right. So what if we put our friendship has changed in the thought line?
Okay.
What's the feeling?
Resigned.
Okay. And you, when you feel resigned that this friendship has changed, what do you do?
First of all, I also feel sad still, but listening to what Corinne says all the time, it's okay to be sad.
Sure.
And you're moving to resigned. Is that right?
Yeah. So what if we just put what if this is your intentional model and we put resigned in the feelings line?
Right. My action, that's my problem. My action is I pretend it doesn't matter.
What if the action is just inaction? What if you don't have to do anything?
Inaction.
Yeah. Because when you're resigned, you're not pretending. You know, resigned kind of means that's kind of the end of it, right? I'm resigned. I understand. I accept that our friendship has changed. All right. And so if the action is actually just, you know, the action line is always what you do or don't do or how you react. Sometimes the action line is just inaction. Okay.
Right.
And then your result would be what? Acceptance.
Yeah, I want to be peaceful about it. You know, I want to be, I guess the feeling I want is peace. And I guess that I'm still sad and resigned, but I would like it to be peace.
I think you should sit with sad and resigned for a little while.
Okay.
Okay. You know, it's like Corinne talks about how you don't always have to move straight into rainbows and daisies. Because you actually have to resolve what's going on with you now. And the longer you sit with resigned and with a little bit sad, and you understand and you take some time to process that and to feel it and to examine it in your body and decide if those thoughts are the ones or those feelings are the ones that you want to hang on to, then the closer you get to moving toward peace. Okay, so you have to feel and pay attention to how these feelings of resigned and sadness feel and how those thoughts create those feelings in order to decide how much more emotional energy you want to give this model?
That's the thing, is that I come to a point with a friendship where it says, I'm done with the energy I want to put into it. Mm-hmm. So I think that's really good when you said just inaction, yeah, and stay in the sadness and really get to the point that I believe all this.
Yeah. Well, eventually, once you sit with the sadness and you become resigned to the fact that the friendship, you know, is not as close as it used to be, and you're sad about that, and you realize that it's okay, that brings on the peace eventually. Once you decide it's okay to be sad and it's okay to be resigned about it, you'll come to a peaceful place with it.
That's really good. I think when I listen to this call a few times, mm-hmm, then I'll believe it maybe, and I'll, yeah, start to working through, but it's really good.
Yeah, I want you to go back.
First of all, you're very calming just listening to
you.
Oh,
thank you. I want you to go back to No BS. There's a lesson there. I'm going to find it for you. Hang on just a second. It's called, hang on just a second. I think it's in module 3. Nope. Oh, module 4, unit 6. It's called Changing Your Thoughts. That explains the thought ladder. So, and basically the thought ladder is what I was explaining before, where you have at the bottom of the ladder, you have your unintentional thought, the painful model. And at the top of the ladder, you have the one that you want to get to. And this lesson teaches you how to level up your thoughts a little bit at a time in order to reach the intentional thought. Okay. And reach the intentional
thought. Yeah, I have that in the workbook. I have that in the workbook from, the October thing. I know that's in there.
Right.
And
I've
been working on going through all the exercises again in that book. And okay. I believe that's in there.
Yeah.
So I'll look here too.
I would totally use that lesson on this situation.
Oh, perfect.
And then, so create your models and stick with, and you know, as you work your way, don't rush the thought ladder. So you have your unintentional one down, go to the next one up and stick with that model for a while, you know, practice that thought. And once you've got that one down, move up the ladder to the next thought. Okay. And practice that one.
The bottom of the heap is open to believing. Is that the bottom?
That's actually, no, the bottom one is, the model, the painful model?
I'm sorry to see, it is their choice and I accept that.
No, that's not the painful one.
I'm sorry to let them go, but I have seen this coming.
Yeah.
Those were some of the ones. I've written so many.
Yeah.
But they were painful to, the painful thing is that there's something wrong with me. I guess
that's
the one.
That's it. That there's something wrong with me. So your next level up might be, I'm open to believing it's not about me.
Right. Right.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you very much. And I'll keep working on this and I appreciate your help. And
you're very welcome.
All your help for everything that you do. Thanks.
Okay. See ya.
Bye now. Bye.
Bye. JoLynn, you're next. Now I have all the hands and 30 minutes left. Yikes.
Do you see me?
Not yet. I hear you. There we go. Here you are.
There I go. You see me now?
I do. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. What's up?
I mean, listening to the two ladies prior to me get coached has been a help, but I do understand that I'm making progress. Listening to the one lady there about her overeats in her recovery sheets. Mm-hmm. That was helpful. I guess I'm just looking for guidance. I've been involved with the group a year in September, so it's been a little over a year. Mm-hmm. I attended the October camp.
Mm-hmm.
I listen to the podcast. I do a lot of the worksheets. I do the recovery sheets. And I feel like I find patterns.
Mm-hmm.
I know my wrongdoings.
Mm-hmm.
And I get a little frustrated with myself because I continue with the same process of binging.
Okay.
Now, like, for example, I knew I was going away for the weekend. That particular environment always creates an overeat for me, and I'm aware of that. So I did the thought work. I came up with my plan. I just made a realistic plan. I'm mm-hmm. going to eat, but I'm going to eat, you know, negative two to positive two. I'm not mm-hmm. going to eliminate any of my goodies and act like I'm depriving myself.
Mm-hmm.
So I did well the first day, and the second day, I mean, I just literally ate stuff. Once I start, I don't stop. And I mean,
okay. Tell me what's going on once you start and don't stop. If eat and overeat are in your action line, what's going on in the thought and the feeling line?
My thought is, and when you were just giving the girl the assignment about excuses and replies, I mean, this is literally like, these are the excuses I say to myself. You deserve it. You've been really good lately. Screw it. You're 153 pounds. You're not that much overweight. Just eat. Go
but
back.
But what about the weekend? You know, you said every time I go into this situation, I binge. What is the situation? Not the excuses to eat. What is going on? I think that's where your work is going to be. What's happening before the binge that is triggering the binge?
The environment that I find my pattern, the environment that I overeat in is camping. We go camping with a certain group of people. We come up with this large menu prior to going.
Mm-hmm.
Includes a lot of my favorite things. Mm-hmm. And that's what typically causes my overeats. And like I say, I try to do my thought process. And in the heat of the moment, I blow it.
All right. So let's look at this. So your C line is camping mm-hmm. with friends, right?
Yep.
And all my favorite foods.
Yes.
And all my faves. Anything else? That's the C line, right?
Yep, that's the C line. No, that's
okay.
It.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So you have a thought, then you have a feeling, then you have the action of overeating.
Right.
What's the thought? When you think about camping with friends and all your favorite foods, what's the thought?
My thought most of the time, like I said, I have several excuses, and basically just enjoy yourself and eat right now. You can go back on plan tomorrow.
That's the one.
Yep.
You can go back on plan tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That's probably the thought. Is that the thought that starts it all? And then all these other excuses come up? You think
Absolutely.
That's the one that starts it? Okay. You can go back on plan tomorrow. What's the feeling?
Disappointed.
No, you're not. Disappointed doesn't create an overeat. It sounds like excitement or impulsive or, look, we got all the food here. You can go back on plan tomorrow. It's not disappointment. What is that?
Oh, the feeling at the present time?
Yeah.
Complete happiness.
Oh, yeah. Let's do it. I'm
yeah.
in, right? Happy.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Happy. Because you know what? I just gave myself, I have all this food, and I just gave myself a good reason that I can eat it all, right? I am in, right?
Yeah, I truly okay. ride the train of sabotage.
Well, I don't know if I'd call it that, but that's,
like
I mean,
it.
But that's, But see, that's the pattern. That's the pattern that you have, right? When you go, when you go out camping, this is the thought that comes in, and you have all the reasons that back it up. You can go back on plane tomorrow. It's just one day. I might not ever get this again. That's where all of your excuses come in. That's where your primal brain is having all that conversation. So the result of this model is that you eat today, right?
Right.
And may or may not get back on plan, right?
Right.
Okay. When you go, I have two questions. When you go, are you still there?
Yeah, I am. I got another call coming and I'm trying to end it here.
Okay. When you go camping, do you plan all the, where did you go? I just lost Jolynn. So what I was going to ask her was, when she goes camping, does she do a realistic plan that includes all the foods? Because that's what she needs to do if that's what she's going to eat, right? Let's see if she came back. She hasn't come back. So that would be thing number one. She doesn't need to eat behind her back. She doesn't need to give herself the opportunity to eat behind her back. She needs to realistically plan these camping trips. I bet she's not doing that. I bet she's not planning all the food, or else she wouldn't be upset about it. Then she needs to decide ahead of time that she can have all the food, but she needs to stick to her hunger scale. It's not depriving her. It's just being real that the food is going to be there, and understanding that and telling herself that this is not the result that we want. We want to break this pattern. So how are we, what's the best way to insert a pattern interrupt here? And that might be by preparing her list of excuses again, by, just having a conversation with herself every day, just being really super intentional about how she wants to show up that day. So hopefully she'll come back and get something out of the rest of her coaching. I'm guessing she took her call. So I'm going to go on to the next person, which is Julie Coleman. Oh, wait a minute. Something's happening here. Oh, you're back. Are you back?
I'm back. Yes, I'm sorry.
That's okay. That's so funny that you left and came back. I just gave this long, well, not so long, but this talk to you that you weren't, when you weren't there, I was telling you, you need to realistically plan all the food when you go camping. A realistic plan when you go camping.
Okay. So instead of just writing like two to two lists, potato chips, cookies, dip, bacon.
Because you know what's going to happen? You're going to look at that plan on that day and you're going to go, really? Is this how I lose weight? Is this how I stay at the weight I am? Is this really what I want to do? You have to put all the things on the plan.
Okay, so make a
realistic. Then you're not eating behind your back. And you every morning you come in and you say, this is my intention for the day. I have the plan. I'm going to eat to my twos. I'm going to enjoy every bite I eat. Then I'm going to tell myself when it's time to stop.
Okay.
Okay.
And you just And just afterwards, I do a recovery worksheet, which typically resonates the same answers, but I do understand it's a process. I need to continue with those because ultimately I will interrupt that habit eventually.
Yeah, you'll interrupt it when you're ready. Mm-hmm. When you decide it's time to interrupt it, it's not going to feel comfortable. You're not going to walk in there going, today's the day. I'm just going to have a little bit. I'm not going to eat everything. You're going to be like, okay, today's the day I'm giving it my first best college try. I've got my realistic plan. I'm going to stop at my two for one meal. And then you're going to hit your two and you're going to go, there's my two. All right. I want to eat some more, but I told myself today was the day I'm stopping at two for one meal. I'll see what the next meal brings.
Perfect. Okay?
Little bitty level ups, but you have to talk to yourself. You have to empower yourself and you have to be willing to feel uncomfortable because it's going to feel uncomfortable if your habit is to go in there and eat all the things when you're camping with your friends.
Right. Right. Okay. Beautiful.
All right. Good luck.
Thanks so much. I appreciate it.
All right. See ya.
All right. Bye-bye.
All right, Julie. Thanks for waiting. Trying to unmute you. There we go.
Hi.
Hey.
Hi. So I have a question that I want you to say something. Yeah, that's never going to happen. But here's this is just sounds dumb, but it seems like I want advice from somebody who has gotten to where I am almost.
Okay.
And in my opinion, and that is, it seems like when I start doing all the things and I am really on a roll and I did all the menu planning and I did all the, and I've been walking and I even started running yesterday and everything's great. Then my 2-year-old goes, oh no, we're not doing this. And it's like, it's that 2-year-old gets, more rebellious in those moments than when I'm kind of plodding along, you know, and it just seems like there's something in me that is fighting. It's like a panic almost, like, and it's like, oh, we got to mess this up somehow. And it just sounds so stupid. So, like in the last couple of days, I've been doing all the things and it's just, and it makes me nervous sometimes that like, I'm following my plan and I'm making nutritious food choices and I'm exercising and drinking the water and getting to sleep and doing all the things, then I need to mess it up somehow. And it's not because I've been listening to Resisting Urges and all of those, like an old call that, you know, all different ones. And actually, you actually talked about it and gave some really good concrete things for me to do of writing all the excuses and then the answer for that. I love that. Mm-hmm. 2 calls ago, that was mm-hmm. great. And I am going to do that. But it seems like in that moment, the better I was behaving, the stronger the justification maybe is what's popping in. Like, well, this really won't matter. So I guess I'm just wondering, one, if you experience that, does it get like harder when you're closer and it doesn't seem to matter as much, or is it just the same old, I just have to keep sticking to it till forever? Like, does that make any sense? Well, what I'm asking?
Yeah, it does. I think for me, the closer I got to goal, the more I didn't believe I was going to stay there. I think that's what it ultimately meant to me. So I had always told myself I was really, really good at losing weight and not good at maintaining it. So what did it matter? I'm not going to maintain this anyway. So mm-hmm. I may as well eat. I think that was pretty much the dialogue that went on in my head. I had lost weight. I can't even tell you. I mean, I joined Weight Watchers 5 times. I had lost weight successfully 3 or 4 times in my lifetime. Mm-hmm. I actually entered private coaching when I hit maintenance because I was good at losing weight. I just didn't think I was going to be able to maintain it. And I think that what happens, we call that an upper limit problem. You begin to get closer and closer to what you actually want. And it creates fear that you won't either be able to attain it or that you won't be able to maintain it.
Right. Okay. That's it.
So you have to work through that fear. You have to tell yourself, just have that. The conversations I have in my head are just enlightening all the time. I have my negotiator's going on all the time. It's telling me, just like yours is, you're not gonna be able to keep it off. Why are you even trying? Have some more chocolate. Oh, and there's chips downstairs too. And Ken just left. You know, I have all these suggestions all the time mm-hmm. to go down and get back into the old habits, the old way of that Kathy used to eat. Somebody says that's the crazy committee. Yeah, I got them all. I got a whole panel up going on up in here. But that's the way I used to eat. And because I have those memories and because I have those pathways in my brain, those suggestions are going to come back.
And they're old. They're old thoughts that I've had.
Yeah.
I'm 61. I've been dieting for 45 years,
and let's just
it takes a long time.
let's just call them the thoughts that are going to be there. They're not bad thoughts. They're not good thoughts. They're just practiced. They're just in our heads and they're going to stay there.
Right.
And that's okay because they're part of us. We have memories attached to those thoughts. We have life attached to those thoughts. They're always going to be there. If we could like knock ourselves in the head and dump out the thoughts we don't need anymore, we'd be great, right? But we can't. So what we do is we realize that those are suggestions that our brain is throwing at us because it's thrown them at us before. And we decide which ones we're going to give the weight to. So when you have those thoughts that come in, the closer and, to your goal, you just have to decide, is that really what you want to believe today? Is that really, do I want to give that thought some merit today? Or is that thought just something that's practiced that I don't really need to, that's not going to get me what I want? This is where the models come in. If you do that thought and you say, how many times have you written a model, gotten about halfway through your action line and went, oh no, I know where this is going. Right? Yeah, I don't like line, this result. Right?
It's the line in the planner that says, what would a coach say? And oh my God, I hear you and Betsy going, Where's that commitment we talked about, girl?
Right.
Yeah, I know.
But when you hear those thoughts and you work those models and you see that result, that's what always gets me. I'm like, that's not the result I want. So that thought's not getting my energy today. Let's move to the next one.
I guess that's my question then. In that moment, because I am really much better at being the awareness of the thought now. And I can say, oh, I'm having this thought that I walked 5 miles today. I can eat blah, 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 or I can drink this wine.
Right.
I'm there. And then I sit there and I've even done the 90-second thing or I've like left the room and then I go, but I still want it. And
yeah,
I swear the longer I try to, it's like, it gets louder and louder. And it's like my 2-year-old's having a temper tantrum. And I think, so I just have to keep trying. I just have to keep doing it, I guess.
Yeah,
and
you just have to, you know, I'm thinking right now, Ken just left the house. I got 13 more minutes of office hours. There's a beer down there in the refrigerator. I would love
never know.
A beer.
Yeah.
But you know what? I'll know. And my sleep pattern tonight will know. Mm-hmm. And my plan will know. And my accountability partner, Coach Betsy, will know because I'll be honest with her. And so that's the conversation I have. Do I still want the beer? Yeah, but I don't want all the other stuff worse.
So you still have those conversations?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Oh, all right. All right.
Absolutely.
I was thinking, man, I'm never getting this, but
no.
I do see progress and I'm so grateful for you all.
I'm so grateful
for you all seeing progress in me before I could see it because now I'm believing it and I'm getting there.
We tell you all that these conversations still happen because that's the reality of it. Not to scare you, not to say, my gosh, I'll never get that, you know, or whatever.
No,
because what happens is the more you participate in the conversation rather than just give into it, the more you answer back, the easier it gets. It's just like riding a bike. You just practice until you can just keep riding.
Okay? And I just say, now, honey, I know you have that thought. You always do. Your husband just left and he'll never know that you ate whatever you drank, whatever. And I am getting better.
But I'll
just
know,
keep doing it.
And the scale will know. And Coach Betsy will know.
And I'll have to write that, what would the coaches say, section tomorrow.
Right?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Okay. All right, good. I feel better that I'm just keep doing it. That's all I have
to keep going.
There's nothing wrong. I just have to keep doing it.
That's right.
All right.
Exactly.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. See ya.
Bye.
Bye. Sarah? You're next.
Can you hear me?
Yep. I can hear you. Hopefully I can see you in a minute. There you are. Hi.
I can see myself at the bottom of the screen.
I can see you.
Okay. Thank you for being on here tonight.
Sure.
I was hoping that I would get a chance to talk for a few minutes.
Okay.
So I'm noticing some patterns, and I'm struggling to break them. I'm not wanting to make excuses. I know that I've been just making some poor choices and letting the primal brain kind of run my life sometimes, but I'm wanting to just kind of talk through the patterns and how I can really work on breaking them.
Okay.
So one pattern that I've noticed is that I do really well on plan, making a plan, following a plan, doing the basics for, it's usually give or take around 3 weeks.
Okay.
I'm not quite sure what happens around that mark, but could be, you know, 2.5, could be 3.5, maybe even 4. And I just like, it feels like I drop off the map.
What do you start doing?
It usually starts with one bad choice of, you know, eating off plan or overeating. That's normally where it starts. And then it quickly can snowball if I do not make a conscious effort to get right back out of it.
Okay. What if that's normal?
I don't know.
It is.
It is.
Do you think I go through life without overeating now?
I have no idea.
No. I still overeat now and then. Probably once or twice a week. I find myself at a +3 instead of a +2. Okay. And if I've had a beer, it might be +4 because it happens.
Okay.
So how do you break the pattern? You make your next best food decision. You don't allow the snowball.
Okay.
You do your recovery worksheet and you say, okay, next meal is going to be on plan to my 2.
Okay. I haven't been great at recovery worksheets. They've been kind of hit and miss. Something that I have done in the past that seemed to be helpful at the time was kind of what you told the caller earlier to do, write down all of your excuses. Mm-hmm. So I basically will try and name everything that my brain is telling me that talks me into eating off plan.
Yes.
And so I'll kind of make a list of those thoughts and then kind of counteract them with thoughts. I just call them my truth thoughts. Like, what's the truth?
Yeah. Oh, I love it. Because I was going to say that a lot of things that your brain throws at you are not even the truth.
No.
Like this won't hurt. Well, okay. Yeah. Maybe it won't hurt physically, but it's not going to help me. Right. So a lot of the things are just not thoughts that you want to put any weight behind. So yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, that has seemed to be helpful, more helpful than the recovery worksheets themselves when I will actually do it. So another thing that I've noticed is I heard Corinne talking about this the other day about some people don't plan certain foods as exception foods because they know that if they have that, they will have to work through and deal with cravings that day. Does that sound accurate?
She said I was on vacation.
Thought I heard her say that.
So I didn't hear her say that.
I thought I heard her say it sometime recently. So it really got me thinking though about, because for a long time I was one of those people that was scared to put exception foods on my plan because I felt like I could not control myself.
Mm-hmm.
And then I finally got to the place where, okay, we're going to put them on there because if you don't start practicing, you're never going to learn how to have them.
Right.
But that's been my experience is when I have certain kinds of foods, I struggle with cravings the rest of the day, whether I give in or not.
Yeah.
It just kind of comes.
That's physiological. I mean, if you have something that's, you know, high in sugar, for instance, and you eat that, it could very well potentially increase your sugar cravings.
It reminds me of like the cigarette cravings I used to have when I would smoke. It really reminds me. I have always described it as I feel like I'm coming out of my skin.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Like it gets that uncomfortable sometimes when I have cravings.
So I can tell you that there are certain foods that are no longer on my protocol.
Okay. Okay.
That I don't eat, not because I don't trust myself around them, but because they're unnecessary in my life. And I know when I was big, I would eat a lot of them, like donuts.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah.
Since in 6 years, I've had 2 donuts. And they had to be super duper special occasion, like planned way in advance donuts, knowing I'm going to eat this donut and I'm going to crave sugar the rest of the day.
Yes,
I would. And I'm just gonna know that now, and that's the currency I pay for eating the donut. Okay.
Okay.
That makes sense. So
yeah,
honestly, I don't think it's a problem as long as you're okay with it. As long as you're not white knuckling and deprived and sacrificing and all those really terrible, horrible, hard feelings. If that's just the choice that you make, because you don't want to deal with the sugar cravings or the what you know you're going to have to deal with on the back end of eating it, I think that's okay. I think that's just the choice that you make, as long as you're okay with it.
As long as I'm still trying to plan exception foods and practice eating them within my 2 to 2.
If there are certain foods you know you're going to react to in that way, and you just don't, you want the reaction, how do I want to say this? You don't want the reaction more than you want the food, then it's, I think it's fine.
Okay. Yeah. The first pattern that I mentioned, so I feel like I'm still in that. So last Monday? Yeah. I had a therapy session. It was highly emotional for me. I've got a lot of health issues going on. And so I'm kind of processing through that in therapy too. I found out today that I need another hip replacement, and I had 3 surgeries on my other hip earlier this year. And so I had a highly emotional therapy session, and I very rarely have done well sitting with uncomfortableness. I tell myself that it's okay to feel these feelings, that I need to feel them because I need to be able to grieve and process them. But I just 9 times out of 10 make the decision to get food to not feel them or to take a break from feeling them.
Okay. Let me ask you this question. If you're having hip issues, you have a lot of pain.
Yes, I do.
Do you eat through the pain, or do you just understand that the pain is there and it's going to be there?
I normally just understand it's going to be there.
It's the same thing. If you can think of discomfort in the same way that you handle pain.
Emotional discomfort. Yeah. Emotional discomfort is way harder for me to handle than physical discomfort or pain.
And that's a thought. Other people would tell you that it's exactly the woman we talked to. I don't know if you've been on the call the whole time, but Sylvia, the very first person.
Mm-hmm.
Can't handle physical pain. She's going to have her mouth. She's going to have oral surgery. And she already, you know, I don't know what I'm going to do with the physical pain.
Yeah.
So take a look at how you manage your pain in your hip or your physical pain, and see if you can apply that to your emotional discomfort.
Okay.
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 Go ahead.
So where I was going with that real quick before I get off the call is that was last Monday. And so most days since then, not every day, but most days since then, I have started the day with a plan and started the day eating well. And it seems like I can't make it through the day. I can't seem to put one day together, and it's very frustrating.
So is your
and so do I just need to examine my thoughts around why I continue to eat, or
I would look at what's triggering you to go off a plan.
Mm-hmm.
Is it, you know, are you white knuckling your emotions through the day and then just, you know, you run out of energy in the white knuckling? Is something happening that triggers you to eat? Is your plan unrealistic at the end of the day? That's what you have to determine, is figure out what that pattern is, what's causing the off plan eating at the end of the day, what thought is going on, what feeling.
I have a feeling that my body's just craving stuff, and I just don't want to sit with the uncomfortableness, and I just give in and just don't want to deal with it. I have
But why are you craving stuff? What's that, you know, an urge, a craving is a feeling that's driven by a thought.
Okay.
Okay. So why do you
Why
do you think you're craving something?
Because I don't want to deal with my life.
What's the alternative to not dealing with your life?
Ending up like my mom?
Yeah. It sounds like that's not what you want.
Mm-mm.
So why don't you handle it? Why don't you take care of it? And decide this is the body I'm given. Let's go to work. Let's see what we can do to take care of it.
Okay.
Managing your food is going to be step one to taking mm-hmm. care of your body, right?
Mm-hmm.
Taking care of your hip, you know, whatever needs to be done to get you out of pain, to restore the joint. Step two, managing your mind around taking care of your body. You know, that's probably going to take some practice. Managing your mind about taking care of your body is going to take some practice mm-hmm. rather than being angry with the body that you're given.
Yeah.
Frustrated, sad. Nothing.
I have more fear, I think, going on because I had so many complications from the first hip replacement. I just have a lot of fear.
Mm-hmm.
So I think I really need to work on that and kind of work through that.
Yeah. Let us know how we can help you. Okay.
If you please, you might see me on coaching calls more often.
Do it. To hit coaching calls, throw your models and ask coaches, you know,
okay.
whatever it is you need. Okay.
Okay. Thank you so much.
All right. Take care.
All right. Bye-bye.
All right, let's do one more. Angie. Are you there?
I am here.
Hello.
Hey, Kathy.
Hey.
This is my first coaching call.
Welcome.
Thanks. I'm going to be quick. I mainly joined PNP to do the thought work.
Okay.
I am a pro at losing weight.
Aren't we all,
I cannot... I cannot get to the thought work, and I'm not sure if it's because I'm afraid of what I might dig up. Not that I have like skeletons or anything like that, but you know, I've always eaten to compensate for dealing. And even though I'm eating better and I'm not eating my feelings, I'm still not dealing.
So there doesn't have to be any deep, dark secrets about why you ate. You could just be eating in response to stress or in response, mm-hmm. you know, just to take the edge off, to handle, you know, life or whatever. I mean, it doesn't have to be some deep, dark secret that you're hiding underneath the eating. Okay. Could just be that's how you cope. That's just your coping mechanism is eating.
Oh, it totally is. Yes.
Yeah. Where, you know, some people... their coping mechanism might be going for a walk or taking a shower or scratching their head or whatever it is. You know, you've chosen your coping mechanism is to eat. So if that's all it is, then a thought download should not be terribly scary for you. You know, when you have an urge to eat,
it should.
Shouldn't, right? When you, so. I would just start really easy. Just start like in the morning or at night. If you start in the morning, ask yourself, what am I feeling today? And it could be, I don't know, happy, sad, dread, tired. And then just say, why do I feel this way? And just write for a couple of minutes.
Okay.
That's it. So let's practice. Okay.
Okay.
What are you feeling right now?
Sad.
Why are you sad?
My husband is deployed.
Okay.
And we don't get to talk
about it. Tell me some more about it.
We don't get to talk a lot. I have buried a lot of those feelings of loneliness and So right now I'm trying to feel it more because I know Korea's really good, really big about sitting in your feelings, but I avoid that because I don't want to cry.
Give me 4 more sentences.
I have all this stuff I have to do on my own. All my kids are, I've got 2 kids, they're out of the house, so it's just me and the dog. And I spend a lot of time by myself, and I'm just tired of having to entertain myself and pretend that I'm okay.
So you just did a thought download about why you were sad. That's it. That's all you did. Now, how does sad feel in your body right now? Are you crying? A little bit?
Yes.
A little sniffly?
Has yes.
Your stomach, how's your stomach feel?
A little topsy-turvy.
And your head? How does that feel?
Oh, my head hurts really bad.
Okay. Are your muscles tensed up, shoulders tensed?
Yes.
Okay. This is the worst that happens when you feel sad.
Okay.
This is it. That's it. So I would do this every day. I'd get a little notepad or piece of paper. I'd say, what am I feeling? Answer the question and then ask yourself why. And write just for 2 or 3 minutes and allow yourself to feel. And understand that the feeling that you're feeling, all it is how it shows up in your body. And it's okay. And that's all it's going to be. You didn't, what does Corinne say? Die or get pregnant?
Yeah.
I shed a tear or two and did a little thought download at the end of this coaching call, right?
Yes.
You did just fine. And you got to unload a little bit of sadness.
Mm-hmm.
And the more you do that and the more you see what's creating the sadness for you, the better you're going to feel. Sometimes, especially when I feel sad, I picture the words coming out of my fingertips. It's like it's emptying out of my brain and out of my fingertips. And then I get to look at those thoughts and decide which ones of them I like, which ones I want to keep.
Okay.
So if you were to go back and look at your thoughts, you might be okay with feeling a little lonely because you love your husband and he's deployed, right?
Yes.
You might be okay with your kids being out of the house because they're grown. They're on their own. That's what you want for them, right? I mean, that's what mm-hmm. I want for my kids.
Yeah.
I don't want them working at Publix the rest of their life, living in the basement or something. So you decide that those thoughts that you thought that were making you sad are really, they're okay. Right. And then there might be one mm-hmm. or two that, you know, you want to work on. Like maybe the thought about, I'm tired of doing everything on my own. Well, you might be, but until he comes home, that's what you're going to have to do. So maybe you might reconcile that thought a little bit. And be okay with it because your husband's providing for you while he's deployed and he cares about you and you talk to him. So you just go through your thought download and decide which ones you want to keep and which ones are really okay.
Okay.
And that's it. That's all it is. It's just a little journal entry. Sometimes mine's just half a page and I'm done. Sometimes it's 2 or 3 pages long. It just depends on how prolific I feel like I'm writing today. But I usually don't write more than about 10 minutes. And I like to write about what I'm feeling because it helps me process, helps me know, you know, that it's okay to feel those things.
Okay.
Does that help?
Yes. That's why I put the weight on. Yes. Yes, it does.
Okay.
And it wasn't scary.
No, I'm not scary at all. Most of the time. I don't know. My husband might disagree. You're very welcome. Take care.
You too.
All right. Bye-bye.
Okay.
All right. 2 quick questions. Oh, goodness. What is my weight loss story and why did I become a coach? Okay. I'll give you the Reader's Digest condensed version. That dates me, doesn't it? December 2012, my oldest son, Jason, got married. He married a girl who was one of eight in a Latin high mass three-priest wedding. So I knew the babies were coming hard and fast. I weighed 230 pounds. I saw myself in pictures. I was, I didn't hate myself. I was pretty much resigned to the fact that I was going to be big the rest of my life because my family was big. So, oh well, big the rest of my life. Then about a month later, January 2013, I went to a retreat at church and I met the Queen. She was one of the keynote speakers along with a priest. No kidding. She, in 2013, she made as much sense as she does now, right? So I came home, I sat across the table from my husband and I said, I'm going to try losing weight one more time. I met this girl today. She makes a lot of sense. Here's some of the things she said to do. And I pretty much told him the basics, right? Eat when you're hungry. Stop when you're satisfied. Let's make a plan. You know, think ahead of time what you're going to eat, that kind of thing. And over the course of about 18 months, I lost 80 pounds. During that time, oh, I mentioned earlier on the call, when I got my 80 pounds down, I had a little freak out moment, decided I didn't know how to do maintenance, so I hired a coach, who is Jane, who Corinne talks about now and then. Her friend Jane was a coach at the time. About that time, Corinne and Jane went to life coach school, and they started practicing their new life coaching skills on the girls who were in private coaching at the time. I was one of them. I believe Betsy was one of them as well. It was intriguing to start doing the intentional thought work. I think the thought work was happening all along, but the intentional thought work, the models, the, you know, learning about how the brain works and all that kind of stuff. And honestly, I don't know who you are, RJSK SICH. I was pretty good at it. I caught on and, I left coaching. They had to kick me out because I loved it. They said, you don't need it anymore, out. But they asked me to stay on as a mentor to the people going through the private coaching and mentor to the people who were in the tribe at the time. Tribe was very small at the time. So I was really the first PMP mentor. It's kind of exciting, right? Still working my accounting job. And I watched Jane and Corinne and Kathleen at the time, and I watched them coach, and I tried to help people in the same way they did. So fast forward a few years, I got my first coaching client probably in about 2015, a girl named April, who I love dearly. She's still in the tribe. Maybe it's 2016. I don't remember. Time flies, right? She was my first client. And I did part-time coaching for Corinne until about this time last year. Well, no, I was still part-time this time last year. About this time last year, I gave my notice at my job and decided to go full-time with Corinne. I was able to retire from my job with the state, carry my insurance, draw a little pension, and decided it was time. I became a coach because I love PMP. I love what it teaches. I love being able to help people. I love teaching. I just love coaching. I feel like my entire life has led me to this, even through my accounting job, which is so strange because it's such a difference. Every time I am with Corinne, I learn something from her. Every time I'm with Jane, I learn something from her. I mean, it's just amazing how spongy I got. I would just soak up everything. And so I just worked on developing my coaching skills. And once I felt really good and confident with it, I just decided I wanted to do it full time. The most beautiful part of the story to me was quit my job before I told Corinne. I didn't ask her permission. which was a big deal for me because I needed to make the decision on my own. So I worked it out with my husband and said, she may only have part-time work for me. And is that okay? And he said, yes. So I made the leap, became a coach. And y'all, this time next month, in about 3 weeks, I'm going to be a certified coach with Brendon Burchard's high performance coaching program. So I'm super excited about that. It's been a big, big shift for me. And I feel like it's exactly where I'm supposed to be. I feel like it's my purpose. Okay, so I hope that answers your question. Anna says, one of my questions for my day is to be successful at work, sales, as well as be healthy mentally and physically. Yeah. Is being successful at work and being my best self a good reason? If you think it is, I'm all in. Because honestly, those are two of my most important reasons. You know, one of my most important power thoughts is to be the best I can be at work and be the best person I can be. I feel like when I'm working on plans and doing journaling that I'm better at work, better at relationships in general. Is this okay? Not much about weight loss. I am maintaining and figuring out if this is where I want to be or if I want to adjust plans more. I think I'm not seeing anything I disagree with here, Anna. I do not want to slip and not make plans or let my toddler brain start grab-assing. Just want to keep going with PNP and keep healthy mentally and physically. Is this where I should be? If it sounds like, Anna, it feels exactly right to you. And if that's the truth, if that's what feels right to you, you are exactly where you're supposed to be. I think the most beautiful thing about your thought is being your best self, because that encompasses mentally and physically. And it also keeps that toddler brain kind of in check. It keeps your grab-assing in check. If you want to be your best self, and if that's always your focus, I think you're right on target. So I hope that answers your question. All right, everybody, I am done. I hope you have a good night, and I will see you all soon. Take care. Bye.